This morning we'll be in chapter what? 30 of Genesis. Chapter 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I against Rachel?" And he said, "Am I in God's stead?" Excuse me, I said something. Let me say it again. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "Am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb?" And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went into her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, "God has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son." Therefore called she his name Dan. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob as a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop come." And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrake. And she said to her, "It is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with you tonight for thy son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him, and said, "Thou must come unto me, for surely I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, "God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden unto my husband." And she called his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons, and he has called his name Zebulun." And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph and said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away that I may go into my own place and to my own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for you knowest my service which I have done to thee." And Laban had said to him, "I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake." And he said, "Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it." And he said to him, "You know how I serve you, and how your cattle was with me, for it was little which thou had before I came, and it is now increased to a multitude. And the Lord has blessed me since my coming, and now when shall I provide for my own house also?" And he said, "What shall I give you?" And Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock in a day, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness answer for me in a time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me." And Laban said, "Behold, I would it might be according to thy word." And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the goats, she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had come white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and he gave them into the hand of his son. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar and of hazel and of chestnut, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear in them, which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutter, in the watering trough, and in the watering trough, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ringstrake, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and he set the faces of flocks toward the ringstrake, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not into Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever that the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, men servants, and camels and asses. A lot of words, but there's a lot of meaning in this chapter. We know Jacob was a conniver, a supplanter, the heel catcher, the trickster. But we want to start out with Rachel first. We'll get back to him in a minute. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, or she was jealous, and said to Jacob, "Give me a son or I die." The word children should be sons. So she said, "Give me a son or I die." In their culture, if they didn't have a child, what were they? We know they were childless, but they were, in their own eyes, they were a failure in life. All they saw was the natural production, and that was the only thing important to the people in that day. Today, there's people that's just as bad off. They feel if they don't have children, then they're not real people. You know, they're not complete. See, my completion, your completion, does not hinge on the fact whether I can reproduce another fleshly being or not. You realize that. Your being determines your ability to reproduce the Christ in you, to let your Christ reproduce in you the way he wants it to be. If God has chosen for you not to have children, what should you be? What should you think about yourself? I'm a failure? What should you think about yourself? Well, if you go through all the struggles with children, you might say you're blessed, mightn't you? At times you could feel that way, couldn't you? Say, boy, I'd like to have some time off, you know. I've been there. We've raised children. I know what I'm saying. There's times when you wish you didn't have them. There's times when you wish you had 10 times more. There's both ways you're going to struggle through it. But you got to realize that this is God's plan. It's not your plan. So it's not up to you to condemn yourself or anyone else whether they have children or not. And here's what she's doing. She's condemning herself. I'm a failure. I've got to figure out a way to help myself into this realm of getting my respect from God by producing children. In the eyes of her husband, she thinks she has to produce something. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. Now, she's the one he was really crazy about, wasn't she? And he said, "Am I in God's stead? Am I God? I don't think so. Who has withheld you from the fruit of the womb?" Who did this? Who did this? God did it, not me. He said, "I'm doing everything I can do. It's just not working on the other end." And that's up to God. And she said, here's her solution. "My solution is to use my handmaiden, Bilhah, and you go into her that she shall bear upon my knees that I may also have a son by her." Now, what does the name Bilhah mean? What does it mean? Timid, troubled, or tremble inside. That's what the language says about this word. Tell me what those are. Timid? It's insecurities, but take it a little farther. What is it? It's emotions. Will emotions ever give you the truth? Facts and figures give you truth. Emotions are deceptive 99.9% of the time, I'd say, if not 100% of the time. Emotions will be deceptive. Correct? So you got to watch about making decisions out of emotions, because it'll always bring you trouble, timidity and trouble, fear. Because you'll always, if you make it out of emotions, when your emotions change, what will your thought process be about the decision you just made? Was it right? Did I do the right thing? Be doubt, insecurities, and fears constantly. Fear produces fear. Insecurity produces insecurity. Seed produces like kind. So whenever I make a decision out of insecurity and fear, all I'm going to do is reproduce that same thing in my mind over and over and over again. When are you going to break the seed? When are you going to break the line of that thing? Don't worry about it. You do what just deal with life as it comes. Don't try to change it yourself. because God's plan is going to work anyway, not yours. Anyway, she went ahead and gave Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went into her. So she gave him another wife. She felt she wasn't worthy. She couldn't produce, so she's going to give him another one. Maybe this one can. Do you really think that really done her any good? Because it didn't change anything, did it? Somebody else took her place. She was a surrogate for her. Bilhah conceived and bare a son, and Rachel said, God has judged me. The word God here is what? Elohim. Elohim. The Elohim has judged me and has heard my voice, also heard my voice, and has given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Why Dan? It means judgment. But she said, God has judged her. And I don't know what she meant by she said he judged her. How did he judge her? Did he judge her positive or negatively? She could say, well, he judged me negatively and gave me no fruit, but then he judged me positive and gave me a son through someone else. See, really wasn't her son, was it? Judgment came through carnality. Would you say that? Would that be a fair statement? Through her carnality, judgment came. Dan was the judge. Now, when we get to the book of Revelation, this name is no longer found amongst the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes. Why? Because things have changed, and now we have no judge. The judge resides in your own heart, the Christ, the Son. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister. You know what the word great is? Elohim. With Elohim's wrestling have I wrestled my sister. With God's ways have I wrestled with my sister. I've wrestled with God's ways, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, which means what? My wrestling. See? Wrestlings with God. She wrestled with God and did not win. She thinks she did, that's all. And Leah saw that she had left off bearing. And Leah was who? Jacob's first wife, the flesh. And she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob, the wife. She's mimicking, isn't she? Now, what does Zilpah mean? Trickling myrrh or fragrance. Myrrh is also included. Myrrh is a fragrant, aromatic thing. There is a very much competition here between them. Jealousies are here. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop comes, and she called his name Gad. Now, what does the word troop mean? Well, first of all, the word troop. Let's deal with it. Leah said, a troop comes. What's the word troop mean? Well, no, the word troop here in the Hebrew language says good fortune. Good fortune comes. And she called his name Gad. And guess what Gad means? Good fortune. I know the word troop is there, and that's what it looks like, but that's not what the language says it is. She said, good fortune comes, so she called his name good fortune. Both those words says good fortune. Troop and Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me what? Well, literally, the word should be happy. They'll call me happy. And she called his name Asher, which also means happy. And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes. Reuben means what? Behold the son. That's the first son that Jacob had, right? He went in the days of what? What is wheat harvest? It's a time of tabernacles. The harvest of the wheat comes in late September, early October. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, when the wheat harvest is, right before the tabernacles, rather. And he found mandrakes. Another name for mandrakes is what? It's an aphrodisiac, but it's also called love apples. Okay? Something that's supposed to stir you up intimately, you know? And he found them in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. And then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray, of your son's mandrakes. Well, what are they trying to do here? They're still trying to compete. The son felt, my mom is a good mom, so I'm going to help her have more children so she can outdo Rachel. At least have her own. Well, she already had her own son. So she's still in competition. So he's trying to help Mama. You know what? We don't need the help. We need to let God do what he wants to do. A lot of sons trying to help mamas. And she said to her, "It is a small matter that you have taken my husband. And would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with you this night for your son's mandrakes." Now, in their culture, did she take her husband? Leah got the, she knew she was not set to be the wife of Jacob, didn't she? Who was really doing the tricking here? She was much aware of the fact that she was not to be married. Rachel was supposed to have Jacob. And she connived right along with it, went along with it, and took a man. So who took whose husband? Leah actually took Rachel's husband. That's the way it was set to go. And she snuck in there and got him at night when he was drunk, took advantage of him. So Rachel said, "Okay, you can sleep with him tonight, but I want those mandrakes so it can get me all worked up so maybe I can have a child." Okay? And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come to me, because surely I have hired you with my son's mandrake." And he lay with her that night. Didn't take much to convince him, did it? He was easily bought, wasn't he? I think Jacob was ready. They should have, his name should have been ready. Huh. But how many women? Who knows? You think this was all of them listed? I don't know. And God hearkened to Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob a son, a fifth son, right? But she bare him the fifth son, and Leah said, "God has given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband." And she called his name Issachar. What does Issachar mean? It has a couple meanings. It means he will bring a reward, or there is a recompense. He will bring a reward. So she traded her handmaiden off for a son. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. Wonder what that means, the sixth son. And Leah said, "God, or Elohim, has endued me or has bestowed upon me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." And she called his name Zebulun. What does Zebulun mean? Habitation. So what she was looking for, if I produce these six fleshly sons, guess what? He should dwell with me in the flesh. See? You know what? God does not dwell in these tabernacles made with hands. He dwells in people with spiritual habitations. And everything we try to do, do you think God is really into that? We need to relax and let God do what he wants to do and bring about what he wants and leave the rest of it alone. Right, and here all the wives were doing all this conniving underneath. And Leah said, "God has endued me with a good husband." I did it. Excuse me, leave one more down. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name what? Dinah. What does Dinah mean? Justice or judgment? Go some wild ways on that name. I don't think I want to touch it. That's right. But she was judgment or justice. And afterwards she bare the daughter and called her name Dinah. And Elohim remembered Rachel, and Elohim hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, she said, "Elohim has taken away my," what? Or disgrace. She saw herself as disgraced because she could not have a son. Now, if God chooses not to give you a son or a daughter, do you really think you deserve that? You did something to deserve it? It says in the book that his plans and purposes will prevail. True or false? Okay, if his plans and purposes would prevail, when did he make these plans? Before the foundation of the world. Do you think it has anything to do with what you did or don't do? See, the problem is we keep thinking and judging ourselves and condemning ourselves. Something I did made God do this. God made the decision before you were. Okay? So why do we condemn ourselves for anything? That's foolishness. God made these choices long before humanity came to the earth. So how could you think, in the right thinking, how could you judge yourself as being the problem for this? Be stupid, wouldn't it? Because you're listening to your carnal mind, the accuser, the thing that's trying to accuse you and bring you down. Don't listen to it. And she called his name Joseph. What does Joseph mean? Yahweh has added, or let him add, or he's adding. Okay, he's added one more to me. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and my own country. What was the commandment that God gave Abraham? Get away from your country, get away from your kindred, get away from your father's house. Here's Jacob. He's dealing with all these fleshly things, all these wrestlings with the women. And where does he want to go back to? Let's go back to where? To the comfort zone where he's comfortable. And if he goes back with all these sons and daughters, what will his position in the community be? Very exalted because of all the production. Do you think he'd go back and say, hey, here's my son, and this is the mother of this one, and this is the mother of that one, and this is the mother of this one, and this is here, mother these two over here. Do you think he'd say that? Here's my sons, and the women that weren't even mentioned. That's the way they done it. The women got no recognition of what he had done. And Laban said to him, now Laban being his father-in-law, and they have not had the best of terms between each other, have they? Laban has deceived him, connived on him, tricked him into a lot of stuff. For 14 years of service for a woman that he didn't, first 7 years for one he didn't contract for, and a second 7 years for the one he wanted. And God could tell you a lot of things in that. Many things that you desire and want, when you go to get them, they're going to cost you a whole lot more than what you thought they were. Right? And guess what? You could also, when you get there, you maybe wish you didn't have what you got. You might figure out it's not the one you wanted. We all have to learn those lessons. And Laban said, no, which one did I leave off with? Give me a wife for I have, you know, for whom I have served, and let me go, because you know my service which I have done you. And Laban said to him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, because I have observed, not learned by experience, but observed that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out, do you? But he figured out this. Now, what do you think he's trying to do here? He's trying to manipulate him one more time. Don't you think after 14 years, Jacob should have learned a lesson by now? Fool me twice, shame on me. But what about a third time? Well, here it comes. Yeah. But he learned something in the process. What Laban didn't realize was Jacob was also a conniver. He was a conniver. And he said, appoint me, or literally the word should be, name your wages, and I'll give it. That's what Laban says. Just name your wage, whatever it is, and I'll give it to you. That's how important you are that you stay with me. If he really thought that much of the man, do you think he would have connived him the way he had through the years? See? Words don't impress people. Should impress people. I should say it this way. Actions impress me. Words don't impress me. I want to see what you're saying. If you love me, let me know you love me by how you treat me. Don't just say good words and treat me like crap, you know? I'd rather see the action. Anyway, verse 29, he says, you know how I have served you and how your livestock was with me. He was a shepherd. He took good care of his livestock, didn't he? The word cattle should not be here because it's not in the language at all. Every time we use cattle in this whole chapter here, it's always the flock or the livestock. Into verse 30. Because it was few which you had before I came, and it is now increased into a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming, and now then when shall I provide for my own house also? And Laban said, what can I give you? And Jacob said, you cannot give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. He said, you can't give me anything, because he already realized his sufficiency was in God, but he also knew his natural carnality, and he knew how to connive very well. You realize how easy it is being a man or woman of God, how easy it is to justify in your mind that I can do this thing when you really know you shouldn't be doing it? Yeah, he knew how to do something to manipulate them. He was a manipulator. And that's exactly what we have to watch. See, this story is not about Jacob and how many cattle he got, but it's about the nature of Jacob and the nature of Laban and the nature of Leah and Rachel, the things that are being done. Seed produces like kind. They're working, all of them, in deception and manipulation. True? So if they're all working in manipulation, deception, conniving, tricking each other, what do you think they're going to produce? They're going to produce that same fruit in their life. It's because of the competition and jealousies between each one of them. They've not learned to accept each other and love each other, so there's a competition. See? If I was to go fishing today with my wife, and she caught more fish than me, would that make me mad? No. I want to see everyone that goes fishing with me. I love to fish, and I like to go out. I like to see everybody. I like to catch them, but I like to see everybody catch them. See, I want to see everybody do it. Because then there's no competition in that, but then everybody is what? If we all go out, everybody's pleasant and happy and everything. But if you go out and one person's catching fish and the other one's not catching fish, the one gets sad and they're ready to go home and you're not ready to go home because you're catching fish or whatever. It's just very uncomfortable that way. But if everybody can be pretty well the same, isn't it make it nice? No, I don't care. No, I'm not worried about that. But I'm just saying, it's a spirit of competition that we don't pay attention to. And in here, this book, this chapter is all about competition amongst people who should be loving to each other, their family. And they're living in the I and me and my world, I, me, my, and mine, instead of living in the we and us world. See? If they were there, would it make any difference? My wife knows if we go out and I catch more fish, she'd care less because she knows I'm going to be the one filleting them. And she's going to be the one flying them, frying them, and we're both going to eat them. So it don't make any difference. What difference does it make who catches them? Does it make a difference, Bob? As long as you get to eat some of them. Okay. See? And I share with everybody, see? So there's no problem. That's what this chapter is about. Look into the nature and the character of these people and what they're doing and realize it has something to do with your life in a comparison to something in your life that's going on. See? How easy would it be to be in competition with somebody? It's so easy. It's so subtle. It just slips in there. And that's what he's trying to tell us in this. Look at the subtlety of your life and see, am I getting in a competition? If I am, then bite my tongue. Get back out of this thing. See? Stop it. And you've got to do that yourself. See, it's not my place to point out a fault in your life. Most preachers, when they go to seminary, they think when they get their diploma that they get a little bronze star or something to pin on their chest so they can be sheriff when they go back to their congregation. We're not sheriffs. We don't wear badges. God never issued a badge to any of his prophets, any of his pastors, did he? And just like it says in Acts 27, verse 19-20, in the third day, you've got to lighten the ship with your own hands. You've got to cast it all out yourself. You've got to see that there's something wrong with what you're doing. I could tell you all day long, and all you're going to do is resent it. You've got to make the call yourself. He said, didn't the writing say that you have to walk out your own deliverance with fear and trembling? You have to do it yourself. I can't walk it for you. Nobody else can. Okay, we're going to leave off 30. Okay, 32. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from there all the speckled and spotted sheep and goats. That word cattle there should be sheep and goats. And all the dark brown or black among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. So shall my righteousness speak for me in a day to come, because it shall come for my hire before your face. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the dark brown and black ones among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen by me. If he has any sheep that's pure white, what's the matter? It would be stolen. And we know the white represents the righteousness. What do you think Jacob's really admitting to? He's crooked conniver. My name was very well placed on me. I'm a conniver. He's saying, I'm not righteous. He surely knows. And Laban said, "Behold, I would, it might be according to your word." It shouldn't say it that way. It should say it this way. And Laban said, "Good, let it be according to your word." That's what he should say. "Good, let it be according to your word." So he's agreeing, you can have all the speckled and spotted and streaked and all that stuff. You can have all those. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked. And that word ring-streaked, you know what it really says? Striped. All the striped and spotted and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted and every one that had some white in it and gave them into the hand of his sons. Now, who is doing this? Jacob, it leads you to believe that Laban could have been doing it, the way the writing, if you read it to it. And Laban said, and then it says right in the next verse, "and he." But you have to back up a little bit and know that Jacob's the one doing it, okay? "And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob." That's Laban. Now, if you look at this, let me look at this another way. And the one answer was given was it was Jacob doing it, but also if somebody else could have been doing it. What? Laban spoke in verse 34, correct? And then it says, "and he removed," he would also refer back to Laban. And now go into the 36th verse, "and he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob." So who's he talking about? Laban. Laban says, "okay, you can have all these things for yours," but Laban took all those out trying to connive again Jacob. He took out the ones that had the gene pool of the stripes and the strakes and the ring strakes and all that, you know, the darker. He took all them out. Guess what? He separated them, gave them to his sons, said, "get them out of there where you don't know where they're at. Hide them." So what's he trying to do? He's going to keep him poor so he can't go off on his own. That's exactly what his plan was. "And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock." So he did what he was supposed to do. But now look what Jacob did. Jacob had a plan. "And Jacob took rods or sticks of green poplar," or white poplar, "and of the hazel," or literally the almond tree, "and of the chestnut tree." The word chestnut here is plain, or literally the word means smooth, the smooth tree. You see a chestnut, the stalk of the tree or thing is a real smooth bark. It could be what they call smooth tree. "And he set the rods which he had peeled," or literally peeled, P-E-L-E-D, peeled, "before," what? Where'd he put them? "In front of the flocks in the," what? "In the trough where they watered them." So now you know the water supply has to be the main place where they come to. Right? The water supply brings its life, so they got to come here, don't they? So they're coming here, and the first thing they see is not just what the goats would normally look at, but they're seeing something up there with stripes. So what's he doing into their minds? He's doing some, what do they call them, magicians, the soothsayers. They're doing all this stuff to change in their minds what's coming out. Okay? He's trying to set their thinking process on these spots and stripes and mixed, what's the word, variegated. They have variegated collars. Yeah. Okay? And he put those peeled things in front of them in the gutters or in the watering trough. When the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived or mated before or near those sticks that were striped, where he peeled them off, and brought forth what? The word cattle, again, can't be right. He brought forth livestock that was ring-straked, right, or striped. Ring-straked literally means striped. Speckled, the language literally says spotted. And the word that says spotted here and there literally means variegated. What does variegated mean? A mixture of colors. You know, lights, darks, all different colors. So he brought forth the multiple colored animals. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not with Laban's flocks. So he separated all the ones that he had already spotted. He kept taking Laban's and he kept filtering out the ones that were susceptible to what he was doing. And then it goes on to say he talked about the weak and the strong. And it came to pass when the stronger of the flock did or were in heat. So that word here, conceived, should be were in heat. That Jacob laid the rods, or those sticks that were striped, before the eyes of the flocks, in the trough, and that they might conceive or come in heat among the rods. So what was in her mind, these multiple colors and everything, he believes that this is going to change everything, right? And we do know that it did have a bearing on them. Probably had something to do with it. He had been playing with it. But when the cattle or the flocks were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger were Jacob's. Now this 43rd verse, there's one section of it that's really amazing. If you just read over it and you don't pay attention to it. And the man increased. Who increased here? The man, Jacob. The natural man increased speedily. And he had many flocks and many maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. So it didn't have anything about the man growing spiritually, but the man increased speedily. The man increased. The stuff, collection of stuff. And in his mind, he was becoming a great man. But how did he come by it? By trickery, by deceit, by competition, by pride, right? By arrogance, by all the carnal ways of the mind, he has come into this realm. He let himself fall into it, and he turned around, rather than walking away from the carnality, he turned around and chose to do something here. What did he choose to do when he chose to stay with Laban? He chose carnality again, but in what way and what was his mindset? I'm going to get even. The man done me wrong when I worked 7 years for Rachel, and instead he gave me Leah. And he made me work another 7 years for Rachel, and now the man's trying to connive me again, but I'm one up on him. I'm going to show him. I'm going to strip him of all that he has because of what he done to me. In all those 14 years, there was something brewing in his mind, and it was revenge and retaliation. You see, do you hear anything about it there? But is it happening? The revenge and retaliation. And that's what happens when you have competition. When someone comes out to be superior to someone else, it's competitiveness. And that competitiveness will breed revenge and retaliation. It'll do it in our lives. If somebody has more than we have, it can create jealousy. Jealousy is a nasty, nasty thing. And it breeds revenge, retaliation. It's not a good thing. You see what I'm saying? And you got to look at this in your life. It's not about Jacob. Jacob's only a pattern. He's only a metaphor of our lives. You hear what I'm saying? We got to watch in our lives. I can't tell you, don't do that. You've got to look, see this yourself. I'm just trying to help you see the picture that God has painted in this book and put into my mind, and where it can help you live your life where you're not into competition with people. You're not into retaliation, revenge. If they do you wrong, they got to live with it. I can live with whatever you do to me. I don't have any choice in the matter. But you know what? The person that does me wrong is the person that has to think at night. Because of their mind, first of all, they do you wrong. Their thinking cannot be godly thinking, can it? So now, if they don't have godly thinking, guess what else they can do? Their mind will condemn them and keep them in fear the whole time they're walking on this earth until they get right with it in their own mind. If somebody does you wrong, what are they always looking for every time they see you? They're looking that you're going to do something to me. If they're in an area where you might be, guess who they're looking for? You. They know they've done you wrong, so they've got to try to be on guard so they don't get you. See? Don't get back at me. Fear runs rampant in their lives. If we're going to walk in the peace of God, we've got to get all this garbage out of our lives. We've got to get all these subtle things of revenge and retaliation, manipulation, control. All this stuff must go. You want peace in your life? That stuff's got to go. You want peace in your relationship? That stuff's got to go. It's not a competition. Can I get more than my wife? Or is she getting more of the finances than I'm getting? That is not even in the picture. It just works out. You know, let it go. I don't care which way it goes. It goes whichever way it wants to go. And I'm not into that counting pennies, keeping tabs, see? I've been there before, and I don't want no more of that. I don't want no more of that. Just let it go. Any questions? Comments?